Good morning. How is everyone? It's good to see you. Today we're talking about the beginning of wisdom. The basis for understanding life, how to live well now and forever. And perhaps you know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's Proverbs 9, verses 9, verse 10. For some reason, my presenter is not showing the slide. Oops. Can we go back? Oh, that's good. That's good. Leave it there. All right. Can anyone see what's in this picture? They're whales. Do you know what kind? I think they're humpback whales, yeah. And so this guy's getting a little bit closer and taking their picture. A lot of people are doing this kind of thing. It's so exciting because they're big. But because they're good, they're not afraid. But it is a thrill. Okay, what about this one? That is big also, and that's a whale shark. And are they carnivorous? No. So they're also nothing to worry about. But they're big, and since they're not harmful, it's a thrill, it's not a fear. What about this one? They look cuddly, but they're not. If you remember a few years ago, a woman got into a polar bear cage in they had to rescue her because they're not cuddly. It's not good, it's big, but because it's contained, we like to look at them. But still, it's kind of scary. But what about this one? How many would like to do that? For real? Have you done it, Roger?
No, I'd like to.
Okay. There's not any in Lake Huron, right? Okay, good. Because Roger's a scuba diver. Not anything I want to do. That's as close as I want to get to that picture there. Okay? It's big. It's not good, but happily it's controlled, at least in that environment. What about this one? Big, not good, but happily it's not real. I mean, it's an imaginary fear. It's kind of like going to Cedar Point, right? Riding the roller coaster. It's like, it's a fear, but it's actually controlled, so if you stay in your seat, you're not really in danger, but it feels like danger. Well, I don't even like that. But what I want to get at is God is big. And sometimes as Christians, we forget. In the song we just sang, it said, "You're my brother, even though you're a king." But sometimes we forget. You're my brother, but you are the king. Even though you're my brother, you're the king. We need to remember that. He's the king. He's big. Okay? Now, why is this guy smiling? Because he doesn't have to wrestle him. That's why. And it's good that God is big, but we have to ask the question, whose side is he on? Is he for us? Is he against us? Joshua was just about to enter the land, and he was walking one night, and he sees a man with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the man said, "Neither. I have come as the commander of the army of the Lord." And Joshua bowed down and worshiped him. It was the Lord himself. God is on our side only because we're on his side. But do people have something to worry about from God? Is God actually an enemy to some people? Is God an enemy to us? And if we've rebelled against God, we've made ourselves the enemy of God. And that's what the Bible says. Let's read these verses here. I'll read 18, you read 19. Romans 1, verse 18. "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them so that men are without excuse. You see, the Bible is very clear. We were God's enemies. But praise God, we know from the gospel that while we were enemies, we were reconciled to him. We were enemies, we were reconciled to him through what? The death of his son. We just celebrated Easter, Good Friday and Easter, and so we praise God for that. Yes, God is good. God is good. That's great. We need to remember that. But God is good, but he's not, he's like Aslan. He's not a tame lion. He's good, but he's not tame. Anybody recognize this? There used to be a TV show called Grizzly Adams. And this movie, their TV star is Bart the Bear. I think he weighs 1,300 pounds. He's a grizzly bear. And this guy, I don't know if you can see what he has in his hands, but this is a signal for him to stand up. This is his trainer. I think he has two apples. I'm not sure. But he's telling him to stand up. And so Bart is very unusual for a grizzly bear. He was raised as a cub, and he's actually tame and very loving. But God is not tame. God is good, but he's not tame. He's both big and good, and we need to remember that. He's not a tame lion. Anybody ever go on a safari like this? Now, elephants are herbivores, and so, you know, but sometimes African elephants can have a temper, especially if they think you're challenging them or something. But what could that elephant do to that car? I think he weighs about five times the amount of that car. He could do some damage. And so these people are not safe because they're in that car. They're safe only if the elephant is gentle and doesn't do anything to them. So don't provoke the elephant and don't provoke God. As Christians, we're not to provoke God. Let's read some more scriptures. I'll read 21, you read 22 of 1 Corinthians 10. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Do you understand what he's saying? Are you trying to make God mad? Are you trying to provoke God? You think something will happen if you... Nothing will happen if you provoke God? It does. We need to be careful. So the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. It's the basis of our understanding life. How do we live well now and how we live forever? So God is bigger and God is before everything. We have to remember that. God is bigger and he's before everything. Many of you know this verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe and all living things. John continues, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. We read this earlier, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, divine nature, or his Godhead. God is before the creation, and God is bigger than the creation. He has intelligence, and he has power, infinite eternal power. He's bigger. We have to give God credit for that. So that what's been clearly seen is being understood. God expects us to understand using our minds, using rational thought, to perceive that God is the creator, the sustainer, the lawgiver, and the judge. We know these things just from creation. And God says men are without excuse if they don't understand that, because that is plainly revealed to every human being that's got a brain as they look around. So we need to give God honor for the fact that even before the cross and before reconciliation, before forgiveness, we need to give God honor as the creator the sustainer, the lawgiver, and the judge. And if he's the judge, and he's holy, and he's impartial, and you know about yourself, and every person knows about themselves, that we're sinners, what should that, how should we respond to God? How should we sense our relationship with God? We should have fear. But because of the cross and because of his love, he's reconciled us to himself through the death of Christ. And then Paul goes on to say, if we're reconciled through the death of Christ, how much more will we be saved? Now that Christ is raised from the dead, he's at the Father's right hand, we'll be saved by his life. But this fear of God is very important, and it's not just something for the past. It's not just something for people that are outside of Christ. It includes the people in the covenant community, people in relationship with God. Look at this verse. There's four verses out of Deuteronomy 10, and let's read them. I'll read 12, you read 13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, 13, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you above all the nations as it is today. Do you see? If God is that big, he created everything. Everything belongs to him. And he set his affection on you. What does that mean about that love that God has for you? If God is that big, what kind of love does he have? His love is great. God's love is great. We want to hold on to that. But don't let us think that because he loves us, this is somehow lessened God. Or that God doesn't deserve respect. Is this only an Old Testament concept? Is this also in the New Testament? Let's read four verses out of Acts chapter 5. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to men, but to God. Verse 5. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then his wife comes in. He said, did you agree to sell it for this price, such and such? Yes, yes. And then Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? The feet of the men who buried your husband are now at the door, and they will carry you out also. She fell down and died. They buried her. Verse 11, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Who was seized with fear? The church. Isn't that the New Testament? Yes. Now, that's a pretty bad spanking. That's a pretty rough time out. These people were taken out. It doesn't mean they went to hell. It means they were severely punished by God. But they're not the only ones. Last week we had communion. Quite often when we talk about communion, we give a warning. It's going to come up here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. I'll read it, you read 28. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong one. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. 28. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. 30. That is why many among you are weak and fall asleep. Verse 31. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Will God judge his church? Yes. He judges his family. even to the point that some people are sick. He said many are sick. And then he said some have died. They didn't go to hell. They're in Christ. That's why he calls it sleep. He says they've slept. But they ended their lives early because they were disobedient to God. And in this context, it's not like sometimes some of the churches have taught, you have to recognize that the wine has become blood, and you must recognize that the bread has become the literal body of Christ. That's not what it means. When he said the body of Christ, what was he talking about? He said there's divisions among you. You're not waiting for one another. You're not honoring for one another. The ones who come early eat too much and eat everything up and they get drunk, and the ones who come late have nothing. You're not honoring the body. Who's the body? The body is the group of people. You are letting the world divide you according to sociological, economic, and racial lines. No, everyone in Christ is in the body of Christ. And remember the very first lesson that Paul learned when he met Christ. Anybody see the movie Paul the Apostle of Christ? Okay, that's we just saw that. It's pretty good. It's a little bit of Hollywood. It takes place. Paul is in the Mamertine prison about to be executed. And so there's these flashbacks, and also talks about the persecution of the church at the time. But Paul, how did he meet the Lord? He was trying to go and capture Christians and cause them to blaspheme and give up faith in Christ. And the Lord met him when he was on his way to Damascus, a bright light that blinded him. And the Lord called out to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Isn't that hard for you to kick against the ox goads? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." How did Paul persecute Jesus? He persecuted the body of Christ. When you persecute Christians, you're persecuting Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean the organized church, and doesn't mean this building. It means everyone who's become a believer and a follower of Christ. We're all one body all over the world, even those who are asleep with Christ. We're one body. And so this is a big sin to not recognize and value the church. And he said, because of this, some of you are sick and some of you have actually died, fallen asleep. So does it go on today? Do we need to fear the Lord? Yes, we need to respect the Lord. He is our Father. And he is training us and disciplining us for our own good. Perhaps you recognize this, one of C.S. Lewis' quotes. A lady said to C.S. Lewis, she said, "Why do you fear God? God is good." He said, "Yes, he's good. That's exactly why you fear him. The dentist is good too, and look what he does to you for your own good." Maybe that doesn't affect you like me. Every time as a child I went to the dentist, I had to have drill and fill. I did not like going to the dentist. He's good, and what he will do to us for our own good. What does God want us to, what does he want to do to us? What's God's goal for us as his children? To become like Christ. What's another way of saying that? To be sanctified, to become holy. Because when we become holy, we become more like Christ. When we become more like Christ, we become more holy. God wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. To stop being conformed to the world, and all of us have been conformed to the world in different ways. And we can have patterns we picked up from our family, patterns that we picked up from our culture, patterns and some that are distinct to us, even from our family. But we're conformed, and he says, put off those ways and put on Christ and be conformed, continually conformed to the image of Christ. And God is a good father. And good fathers do what? They discipline their children. Let's read a few verses out of Hebrews 12. Verse 6, the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as the son. 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, when it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Painful now, but profitable later, because it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul says it this way, "Therefore, having these promises, brothers, let us cleanse ourselves from all the defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Is the fear of God for us today as Christians? Yes, it is. Is God our Father? Yes. But just because He loves us, He didn't become weak. He loves us, and for our good, He will not allow us to live like the world. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. "For just as He who calls you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Verse 17. "Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear." God is going to judge us impartially, as His children, whether or not we've been listening to Him and obeying Him or not. And so because of this, give Him fear and respect as your Father. Out of Philippians 2, verse 12, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Why? Verse 13, "For it is God who works in you to will and do according to His good purpose. So He works in us to choose and to act according to His good purpose. His very presence in us, we need to respect that and have a godly fear. Now, one time Jesus is praying. He sends His disciples out in a boat. A great storm comes up. They're very afraid of the storm. Even the fishermen who are used to being in the boat are afraid, and the tax collector is really afraid, and the other people, they're afraid. Everyone's afraid. And then they see someone walking on the water. They think it's a ghost, and now they're even more afraid because they see a ghost. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear. It's Me. I am. It's Me." And then Peter said what? "If it's You, Lord, tell me to come to You on the water. If it's You, tell me to come to You on the water." And so He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and he started walking. Peter understood something. If God tells you to do something that you can't do, His very command carries with it the ability to do it. He will enable you to do it. God is calling us to holiness, something we can't do. But His very command has power because He's given us the Spirit of God. And so if we trust God and believe His word, He enables us by His Spirit to do what we can't do. And so Peter, doing something that he's never done in his life, and he spent his whole life in a boat because he was a fisherman's kid, he got out of the water, out of the boat, and starts walking on the water. But then something happened to him. What? He remembered who he was, and he started to sink. And so he started to act like a natural man, began to act in his own power and wisdom, and he began to fail. God wants us to walk in the Spirit and do what we can't do, do what He's called us to do, become like Christ, and He will help us. But remember, God is big. He's called us to this. It's not an option. We can't say, "It's too big for me. I don't want to do it. Let somebody else do it." He's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to live a life that's a Christ-filled life, not the natural life. He's calling us to live a Spirit-filled life, and we need to be willing to do it and willing to trust Him. And He'll help us do that. God well, like Aslan, he's not a tame lion, but he is good. He will help us. And he's told us that he will answer prayer. But prayer is not demanding God. God's the Father. We're his children. We can ask him. But he reserves the right to say yes or no, or to even change things and answer it when he wants to. But we need to be continue to ask him doing things. Now, one of the things that we want to do is the elders decided that one of the things that we would do, that God has called us to do, is that the older people are to mentor the younger people. And we're to help the younger people use their gifts and develop their gifts and the ministries that God has given them. And that's one of the things we want to do. And so we're asking you to join us in prayer and also join us in serving God and using the gifts and the abilities that God has given you to build up this church, to use your gifts. And so if you have a desire to do things, let us know, because we want to involve people in the ministry. And we're going to have younger people preach and teach and do different things, and you'll see us doing that. We're going to be stepping out in faith into different areas, and we believe God will honor that. But let's continue to give God the honor that he deserves. He's big. And because he's good, to walk with him would be fearful, except because he's good, it becomes a thrill. That's what God wants us to do, is to walk with him, or to swim with him, because it's a thrill. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your scriptures and what you've told us. Help us to believe these things. Help us to walk in these things and to develop them, and seeing you change us and grow us as a body. Thank you for everyone here that's put their faith in Christ. Thank you for the ones that will come and also join the body by putting their faith in Christ. And Lord, help us to take seriously the body of Christ. At the end of time, there's only going to be two groups of people: those who are in Christ, the church, the body of Christ, and those who are still in Adam, still in their sins and under the curse. Lord, help us while we're on this earth to be telling people so they can believe the gospel and join us in the body of Christ. Thank you so much. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Now let's